I think a really good concept to have is if you've ever been in a meeting and we discuss these reports, we play these back to the customers, there's a big difference between saying, I think versus I know. And data gives you that kind of power.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the PolyEye podcast. Today, I've got a special guest. Brad Stein is our VP of Solutions Consulting. Brad joined us about 4 years ago now, Brad, right?
Yeah, 4 years will be five in November. Long time.
My God, we've aged together. But we were about a small startup playing with machine learning. And I can say with no doubt that Brad taught me most of the things I know about telephony and the contact center. And in this episode, we'd like to talk about something that Brad is really passionate about and something that we've been doing a lot of and monetizing in a good way. And that's really the nature of data in the contact center, right? So people think about our product and about automation in the contact center as something that brings value because it improves customer service and cuts costs. But really, once you get into having a really good conversation with a client, either between two humans or between a voice assistant and a human, a lot of good data comes out. So Brad, do you want to tell us a bit about that data? Why is it valuable? What tangible impact to a contact center or a business does it actually have?
Yeah, sure thing. So I think now what you have within contact centers, especially with conversational AI systems, you're moving away from single utterance type of intent. I have a problem, help me, track a parcel, whatever that might be. You're getting a lot more context. And so what that means is that when you have more verbose utterances, you're able to collect a lot more insight, a lot more meaning about what the customer actually wants to do. And so you can actually transform your contact center into more of an insight center, where if you actually think about it, people don't really want to get in touch with businesses these days. They want to be self-served. They don't even really want to call. So if you're able to pick out why people are calling, understand those problems more deeply, you're able to just fix those problems and or try and attempt to fix them before they even happen.
That sounds nice. But what does this mean in practice? What's an example of this?
So a really good example would be, let's take an example in terms of logistics. Hi, I'd like to track my parcel, right? That's a pretty simple intent. But what if it's like, hi, look, my parcel was supposed to show up yesterday. I'm getting married tomorrow. Where the heck is my wedding suit? I really need to have something happen. Standard types of systems.
Is this a real story?
No, it's not. Thank touch some woods. But I'm sure it happens. So the problem is we don't know how much is happening these days because there's a lot of systems that don't. I think that there's a couple of different things that come out of that. So you would potentially create and flag potential management escalation to see if there's a special type of insert that can happen. You're also trying to track and trend how many potential other deliveries are impacted by that potential problem that's caused that delivery to be delayed. So is it, let's say, for example, a driver issue? Is it a depot issue? Is it because a plane was delayed or can't take off for any particular reason? And start doing more proactive support to try and outreach those people so that you're providing better support, but then also trying to figure out how do we prevent these problems happening in the future.
For today, right? Let's forget about even an AI assistant and go into like a regular contact center. Like this kind of management information, how do people get it right now? What does it look like? Is it good?
Good question. So it's usually post-call, right? So it's post-call analytics where they have to run expensive processes, programs, to try and understand why people are calling. So customer data today is really obtained from two types of areas. It's either directly from the agent post-call, where agents have to enter and wrap up information. But the problem is contact centers, especially very mature contact centers, can have over 250 different reason codes or wrap-up codes. Or it's even a product of somebody writing in unstructured text, which just doesn't really provide a unique aspect of why people are calling. And it's also really taxing for the agent, especially newly trained agent. They don't necessarily know what to put in there. Or it's just causing kind of time lag. So it's not really efficient. And then the other way people typically do is post-call analytics, where you're having to mine the data, look for particular keywords, but that always has to be hypothesis-driven. It's not really leveraging the data to tell you or give you insight into what's trending or happening at any given time.
Okay. So then like in a world where a voice assistant is doing this, what we always thought about is flagging to people something that they didn't know about, automation opportunities, but also things that may be happening that they can, as you mentioned, deal with so that the call doesn't happen to begin with, right?
Yeah. It's also another piece of what's really interesting about contact center data now. If you think about everybody's working from home, old school contact center, you'd have everybody in the office, you'd have a team leader in the pod. They start to hear and pick up on key keywords. So some of the things that we've been helping our customers as they go through these innovation programs is to help track and trend these keywords. For a really good example, one of our customers, they're a large cruise line. They implemented a new piece of technology on the website and started receiving a lot more inbound calls for this particular problem. We were able to flag this up and react to it and provide add additional intense responses, be able to handle this. Where in a working home environment, this person may get that once or twice, whereas we're able to see it holistically across the group and kind of react in real time as well.
Absolutely. So then when you think about like the hive mind, then we're harnessing every single conversation happening at a time, reporting it back and turning the contact center into a real-time analytics tool for the business, right?
Yeah. And the thing is that what this will help do, going back to logistics kind of areas, is you can also start to track particular reasons why people are calling, let's say from a product level. So is it a product or service that's causing a problem? Or is it a particular region that's causing a problem? Or is it a particular language that's causing a problem, identifying what's happening there? So what we're using is some of this data, not only to just improve, let's say, online self-service, but to prove operations to say, hey, look, these three or four depots have a particular problem. They're out of trend. They're having more calls for this particular reason. There's a problem here and you should investigate that. So we're also flagging up for CX leaders how they can work with their operations teams to basically enhance their service or enhance what they're building to prevent calls in the long run.
So then that basically makes the contact center more valuable to operations, maybe even to marketing, like upstream revenue functions, or?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it more valuable for the entire business. So traditionally, people view the contact center as a cost center. CEOs hate to pay for it. That's usually a little bit underloved from a technology standpoint. But what this type of technology does, how can I help? It enables you to collect what's good, what's bad. Millions of people are telling you every single day what's good, what's bad, what they want, how you can kind of. So if you don't use that to your advantage, you're leaving a lot of kind of value on the table. With this type of technology, we're helping CX leaders basically become an integral part of the business and not just being viewed as a cost center.
That's really, really interesting. And then when you think about the future of this, capturing this data, analyzing it, where do you see investments coming in? How will people get this data? Is it from analyzing like human to human? There are many companies doing this already, right? Outside of automation, just looking at sentiment. And like what I've always found interesting is I've actually always found it a bit wishy-washy when they say, hey, we'll track sentiment across these conversations between humans and we'll give you insights out of it. It felt a bit off because maybe you can get the general feeling for how a contact center is doing, right? But like actionable insights are very use case specific, right? And it really depends on what the conversation is about and what is even within the realm of possible for that contact center agent, right? In terms of the tools in front of them. So like when we think of the future for this, what are the investments people need to make? What's important, right? Is it worth doing?
Yeah, I think the most important piece is a fundamental understanding of what is possible with the technology, but then also what the customer's business is doing and where their goals and it's going, right? The first piece, and then what that really means is once you can understand the business, it's about combining the data. It's about combining our contact center data that we're pulling from customers, why, how people are calling, when they're calling, trends, analytics, and matching that along to the business processes. What if you could tell, hey, every Tuesday on the fourth month of the year, I know I'm going to get X amount of calls and I know they're going to be calling me about X, Y, Z. How can I better prepare for that? And this is when you can start to build up. Once you run this for a couple of years, you can start to segment customers and profile customers. So, hey, this is John. He's 22 years old. We know he's going to call about this. He wants to talk to us about X, Y, Z. He also would like this piece to be added to our service, whatever this kind of fictional company is offering, right? Why don't I feed that back to the product team, or why don't I feed that back to the marketing team and understand then from a deeper level, which segments are growing, which are declining. So I basically become extraordinarily efficient as a business, ensuring that marketing is tied up with customer service to provide the best products and services that are out there on the market in whatever industry or whatever product or service that you're offering. And that's the future, right? Where you marry each part of the business together, significantly break down the silos of, hey, we're selling this product and people don't like it. And this is why they don't like it. Product team, fix it. And so if you can start fixing those problems, you'll start to see the contact rates go down, become more competitive in the market. But a lot of companies will just start.
What I'm hearing from you is the contact center as it is right now is they're holding the battle line, right? It's under heavy pressure. It's under attack on 20 fronts. And it's, for what we see for the most part, barely staying alive, right? And what we all know, the churn is high, people are leaving, it's hard to rehire, it's hard to train. What you're saying is, hey, let's quantify what the problem is. Let's see where we can eliminate the problem at source. Mm-hmm. Contact center, just the visibility of everything so that it stops just reacting and starts informing the business as a whole. So does that mean that really your CX leader is in a way perfectly poised to be the operations leader of that company? Because all of a sudden it stops being this black hole in which you're pouring money just to plug yeah. the hole of your product. Because at the end of the day, customer service is people mostly calling you. They're pretty unhappy. They have a problem with something you did. You're trying to be nice and pick up the call. But really, it's something you probably did or a product that you didn't design well that's causing the call to begin with, right?
We work in sales, right? I never take an opportunity not to speak. I always want to speak with my customers. I want to hear their feedback. In the market today, we see endless marketing emails. We see endless surveys, constant requests for feedback. But when it comes to the contact center, people are like, I want to put them on chat. I don't really want to talk to them about their problems. And that's such a bad philosophy to Absolutely. Have. You should have the view of, I want to talk with my customers as much as humanly possible on any channel that they want. I want to be connected as much as possible. But you need to automate that, right? So it's just, this is very like the entry point. So I think when people are considering conversational AI, yes, you have to put out the fires of SLAs, but where this is going, once you reach run state, it's not run state. You're constantly evolving, constantly reacting to what's happening. And a lot of consulting types of, let's say, efforts go into understanding the data, because having these massive data lakes, people talk about data lakes, oceans, I don't know, but all types of bodies of water with tons and tons of data. But I haven't seen anybody leveraging this in a really kind of concise way. And it's, well, you need experts in each type of realm. And we marry that with our customers where we come in and say, hey, look, we know the trends. We know what people are saying. How does this impact your business? What's happening? So that back and forth is where businesses are really going to start to overtake competition-wise. Yep. There's a really great Gartner quote. They said, like, in 2025, people are going to be competing on customer experience. If a product is non-differentiated, people are competing on customer experience. I don't think that's really such a true statement, because, you know, with AI now, everybody should be offering excellent customer experience. I think where they'll compete is the data that they receive from the interaction with their customers and the ability to turn very quickly and move forward with those types of insights.
Yeah, I think we're jumping a bit ahead, but you're right. Like, once you have a good voice assistant, it is there to completely alleviate the pressure of the contact center so that those guys can then do meaningful work on the product, i.e. the company itself. We've been to many. One comes to my mind where people are literally on Slack sending messages around ops and product teams because they have the time to actually do that. And through just like being a premium product with high customer experience, this was a contact center where people are using MacBooks. They've mostly been there for a few years. They know the product really well. They know who to reach out to in other departments to tell them, hey, like, this thing's happening again. I think this particular thing was a query about adding a debit card to an Apple wallet. That's one of the probably the number one individual call reason to any banking contact center, because you just have to add it directly.
And it's such a good idea. My phone stolen, lost all the cards, but hey, oh.
Now you know, but it's really interesting, because then what you're saying is, like, when we go a bit further, it's really like, how is the company using that data, that sieve? And one big thing is, like, jobs change with AI, and a lot of people worry about, like, everyone's jobs going away because these things are improving at an alarming rate. But I guess the truth is, when we start gathering this kind of data, someone who has a bit of like breathing room there is looking at what's happening and trying to think about it. And what we found, I think, across many of the verticals we work with is that they come up with different things. For example, when we started working with restaurant groups, I thought we were selling them the convenience of not picking up the phone. And that's why we started, right? But if you remember, we figured out that for many restaurant groups, they're saying no to large groups on Saturday evenings, mostly because site managers don't really want to deal with groups of rowdy people having 5 pints each. And then the whole system is configured in a way that just gives them a no rather than actually accommodating them because they're big moneymakers. I think this led to a revenue increase of about 1-2%, which to me was completely mind boggling because I didn't know that it would be within our abilities to give that kind of ROI.
Yeah.
With a voice assist.
No, I completely agree. I remember when we were looking at those particular reports and we found out, again, going back into the data, some of those sites were actually shutting off their online booking system. So we weren't able to make reservations. We just found out, you know, there was an issue with that particular site. So we're able to flag this up kind of in real time. And I think a really good concept to have is, if you've ever been in a meeting and, you know, we discuss these reports, we play these back to the customers, there's a big difference between saying, I think versus I know. And data gives you that kind of power. How many meetings do you have to sit there and wait to run a report, wait to get the analytics? Whereas if you can sit there in a management meeting or a leadership meeting, you pull up a report, you pull up the dashboards, and this has real tangible information and insights and trends, you move away from this, oh yeah, this is my gut feeling on that, or versus, oh, look, this is exactly what happened. These are what people are talking about. This is where we did well. This is where we need to improve. And now you have your sprint already created for the next week. It makes management a lot easier. And it makes these meetings go a lot smoother, I think, with competing opinions versus relying, having a data-led decision.
And how do people right now, so this is like what we're implementing and some of our customers are doing this incredibly well. Go back to a traditional contact center. Like you're leading it, you're hiring people, you're looking at churn, your service levels are wherever they are that week. And it's people are usually firefighting. And I've met very few contact center leaders who are not like perpetually stressed. But what are they using to look at these problems now? What information do they have right now?
Yeah. And this is a big problem in contact centers, I would say today, because you're in the leadership meeting. Imagine your SLAs are down. Your service level is increasing.
For the audience, what's your service levels, for example?
Service levels. So
you're picking up the phone. Yeah.
Your answer rate has decreased. Your abandonment, so the amount of phone calls that you drop, they increase. Your wait time's going up and you go, what is happening in my call center? And so you look at a standard report and you say, we're getting a lot more calls. Why? And so in that meeting, you then kick off a piece of work to say, let's get the data team in, let's do some call analytics, and let's figure out why. By that point, that piece of work is going to take 2 weeks. It's already too late. The data that you are then interpreting.
So wait, team listening, people coming in to do this like one-off analysis.
Yep.
Those are then presumably the same people who are supposed to be taking the call. So you're taking like a pool of people out of like the battle lines. And you're having them audit what the others are doing. Is that how it works?
Yeah. It's because you're any type of analytics program, you're going to need people there who know why people are calling to help guide the analytics. You're then running on data that's 2 weeks old. So your call volume could have dropped or it could have increased even more, but that call volume could have changed for another particular reason. So you're always about a 2 week lag time. So then you start to result in guess and check. What if we try that? What if we try this? Could we do that? And then you try and see what impact that has on.
But that's not a valid A/B test because you're running on the next week.
Exactly. So you're in that I think world, right? Where with AI now, and how can I help you? And people are telling you exactly what's wrong. We can show you these trends. You're in that meeting. You're like, oh, our delivery time has increased by 7 hours. We've missed 42,000 time slots last week. This is why call volume is up. This is why that happened because there was a depot problem. It's an unpredictable type of thing. So we now know why the call volume is up versus endless kind of tracking. You wouldn't necessarily have that in a traditional call center.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And look, the last thing I wanted to get is your take on, we're using generative AI in a lot of our products. And our CEO, Yen, has a sentence, which is like information in an organization flows upwards in sentences rather than graphs, right? So I think with a lot of this data, and especially like the management information in contact center, you look at the charts and like the evolution of it, and it's fascinating. You can look at it for days, right? But then in terms of extracting that one core insight, right? That's what our Smart Analyst product is about. Yeah. And we've used it like pretty well to just query data and get an answer. But like, where do you see this going? Which role is this? Is this like a new role in the contact center that exist to like drive automation and feed? It's almost like a PM role inside the contact center, or is it something else?
No, I think like CX leaders, contact center managers have had this want, this capacity, this need for ages. As call volumes, when call volumes are lower, people are easier able to react. They're able to listen to more calls. The house is not on fire, for lack of a better term. But I think for now, if we're providing tools that make it easy for people to understand, I think that's the biggest piece. Like when you sit there and you look and say, what is this code or this reason code or this wrap-up code? Why does it actually mean this? You have to ask those questions. To your point about the reports, if you have to ask 20 questions, it's not easily understandable. So I think from an AI perspective, making reports easy for contact center managers to react on, the role is there. There's a possibility now with a new tool. It's for, I think, people to do what they've always wanted to do. It's just time to start the journey and start leveraging it.
Okay. Well, guys, if you'd like to see more and hear more, Brad would love to speak with you. So get in touch with us. But Brad, it's been a pleasure. And thanks for being a guest in the Deep Learning Podcast.
Thanks for having me.